Good evening, folks, and welcome back on this Saturday, the 12th day of March, 2022. I'm your host, Mark Hall, and let's start our look back at one of the most cataclysmic and enlightening weeks in American history, but I suspect next week might well surpass it with an analogy. Trying to report on the complete collapse of not only the Western world, but especially the once free United States, is a bit akin to trying to catch a falling knife. Gas prices, inflation, idiocy run amok. On just about every front, the new day's headlines are even more incredible and unbelievable than the day before. And that's just the ones the Waystream is willing to admit. Because as you watch all the headlines and realize that this has been deliberately planned and arguably well executed, even though it looks like incompetence at every level, you begin to realize that even the acceleration of the evil is accelerating. By the way, in physics, they call the second derivative of the rate of collapse jerk. And that somehow seems to fit, doesn't it? Let's start then with just one representative headline that yours truly has been talking about now for a long, long time. We've seen it coming. The hints have become road signs, which have become flashing red neon sign warnings. And midweek we had this. The official Big Brother approved February inflation rate has now soared to 7.9% in February. The biggest factors, hey, I bet this is going to shock you, included gas, food, and shelter, basic life essentials. And as Jim Hoff's coverage for the Gateway Pundit notes, the inflation rate was at 1.4% when the White House was stolen by the Biden regime. Real inflation, by the way, calculated the old-fashioned way, honestly, by Shadow Stats and John Williams. He calls it the SGS alternate CPI 1980 based, if you're curious, is well above 15% now, in actuality. And I bet you already had a pretty good idea about that. And I guess I ought to add this, in case you're curious about how the price suppression of the real alternatives is working out. In other words, is Big Brother still keeping a lid on real precious metals using the paper ones? It's breaking down, but it hadn't collapsed completely yet. And while we come back to this later on, that breakdown will be one of the signs that the die is cast. And given what's coming to a head, we may see breakdown on that front before this month is out. Paper gold this week did trade above $2,000 to the fiat ounce. Vapor silver is at $26 for an ounce that you can't touch at that price, and a real ounce is going to cost you at least $6 an ounce more than that. Nowadays, probably more like $7 an ounce most places. That is, if you can get it at all. Regardless, though, if there's a world left a year from now, people will probably look back on those prices as being ridiculously cheap. And if gasoline, for example, is at $15 a gallon, which at this rate it may be by June, history says it's a reasonably safe bet. It'll still cost somewhere around 2 silver dimes per gallon, whatever that means in paper dollars. But ponder this, folks. You can keep those 2 silver dimes in your pocket. Not so for the gallon of gas. And by that time, since it's being laced with alcohol, there's a good chance it might have gone bad by the time you need it anyway. Since most of the other headlines today from the Waystream Media are about how evil Vladimir Putin is, why, he's the new Adolf, don't you know, and how absolutely pure as the driven snow Biden's buddy and partner in crime Zelensky is, I want to focus on a couple of major stories. They seem very different, but actually they connect right at the hip, that help really shine some light on what's behind all of this booga, 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 we've got to kill them all propaganda. Oh, but first, in spite of all the propaganda, I do have to think this headline is revealing, if not outright funny. Kamala Harris, the woman who got where she is in a way that would have appalled actual liberals not too long ago, dodged questions about why the U.S. declined a deal to send fighter jets to Ukraine during a joint press conference with Polish President Andrzej Duda in Warsaw on Thursday. When asked about the Ukrainian refugee crisis, she cackled. That, at least, you can figure is probably true. Biggest story of the day, and arguably one of the biggest stories of a catastrophically evil year, is coming out of Ukraine. And, of course, it is, therefore, being suppressed by the Waystream Ministries of Propaganda, because if there's anything they don't want you to know, it's the following. And, as usual, it seems to confirm a whole lot of conspiracy theories that end up eventually, once the truth is finally outed, conspiracy facts. And since this is a really big story, and therefore has generated a whole lot of fire, and of course the smoke intended to cover it up, and your host has been reviewing a whole bunch of those stories and trying to put the following together for you, let me introduce it with just a few of the headlines from the best of the aggregators, then we'll go back and fill in some of the gaps. We know the Biden Fuhrer and his family, notoriously, the crack-smoking son of you-know-who, Hunter, were neck-deep in corruption in Ukraine long before they stole the 2020 election. Biden even bragged about the billion-dollar quid pro quo that tried to keep the Burisma bribery for the big guy under wraps, and by and large, succeeded. Certainly so far as the FBI and their accomplices among the criminally negligent networks are still contending. But it turns out, and we're now seeing, there was far, far more to this act of treason and cover-up than most Americans would even want to ponder. And it's intimately connected with the COVID-1984 bioweapon project, and it would seem, the world war that's being used to cover it up and blame Russia, 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 which arguably has been in planning and development for years at this point. And what's come out over the last few days, and by the way, your host has been watching the pieces come out and waiting until there was enough of a story and enough confirmation to say, yep, it really is verified at this point, confirms what we've really known for a long, long time. The biggest bioweapons attack in human history has deep state and globalist fingerprints and their hooks in the administration in the District of Criminal Swamp all over it. So, some headlines from some of the stories I'm going to go through over the next few minutes. Number one, from Jim Hoffman, the Gateway Pundit, and they have a breaking video to back it up. Russia tells the U.S., we have found your biological weapons. And maybe that explains why the very first thing Big Brother wanted to do was make sure that anything Russian was expunged from the web and you wouldn't be allowed to hear it, because they knew what was coming. The second headline comes from Stefan Stanford at the All News Pipeline, and it says, biological research facilities in Ukraine have been confirmed, not only by a U.S. government talking head, and we'll play that recording in just a second, but imagine all the people the globalists could exterminate with what they were creating in those labs. New evidence, more evidence, about just how real the global eugenicist depopulation agenda really is. Evidently, it turns out that the Burisma connection, and the need, therefore, to get Americans to pay $15 a gallon for gasoline, was only the tip of a deadly iceberg. And on that score, here's the summary from Dave Hodges' story. The coronavirus was developed in Ukraine, not in Wuhan. Then it was shipped to Wuhan with the complicit participation of Russia, China, and Iran. And the documents don't lie, although the waste stream certainly does. Now remember, folks, it took him a full year to even acknowledge that the gain-of-function research being funded by DARPA and the evil Dr. Mengele of America with a K, Tony Fauci, and a whole bunch of others on that list of criminal Satanists, was true from the get-go. And they were all complicit in covering that up. And now we know more. It came to Wuhan from a host of bioweapons developers, not only in the U.S., but also a bunch of them in Ukraine. Are the pieces starting to fit together yet? Well, just wait. That first headline I mentioned refers to this. The director of the Information and Press Department of the Ministry of Foreign Affairs of the Russian Federation, Maria Vladimirovna Zakharova, told the United States on Wednesday, "We have found your biological weapons." Whereupon she added, referring to a clip that I'm going to play from the floor of Congress in just a second, a statement she said made by the Deputy Secretary of State, Victoria Nuland. "Leave no doubt," she added, "we'll not give Washington to be silent this time. Their attempts, while spilling blood to find biological and chemical weapons throughout the world, we have found your own products. We have found your biological material. As it turns out, it was all happening in Ukraine," she said, "as reported by RT, yep, that's the Russia state-affiliated media. And arguably, they're no less a bunch of liars than the U.S. official state propaganda-associated media. In other words, even if the standard metric of only 80% of this is true, folks, it's damning to the extreme. And by Friday, Russia had convened a special UN Security Council meeting to present their biolab evidence. And some of those reputable news agencies that paid any attention at all did notice it harkened back to a Security Council meeting convened over the Cuban Missile Crisis about 60 years ago. Russia claims they've secured evidence from those biological weapons labs and convened the Security Council meeting on March 11th to discuss the military biological activities of the U.S. on the territory of Ukraine. Reuters on Thursday reported that the World Health Organization, SICK, has, quote, strongly recommended to the Ministry of Health in Ukraine and other responsible bodies, how's that for a laugher, to destroy high-threat pathogens that they've been keeping in those bioweapons labs in order to prevent any evidence from getting into the wrong hands. No, they claim it's to prevent potential spills. Leaks is the better term there, of course. You kind of want to harken back to the FBI helping Hitler destroy evidence, don't you? But once they realized the jig was up and they couldn't keep a lid on it, the guilty parties in the U.S. are now saying, oh, we don't want the Russians to get what we intended to use against them and maybe release it as a bioterror act. Good grief. Yeah, they're going to one way or another turn those false flags into self-fulfilling prophecies, it seems. And let me insert one more historic reminder in at this point. Remember George W. Bush and the infamous weapons of mass destruction that Saddam Hussein had and thus he needed dying for? And how they sent troops in looking all over for those weapons, never found them, but it didn't stop us from basically leveling Iraq anyway. Arguably, even more violently and inhumanely than the Russians, according to the very worst of the reporting, might be doing. And on that score, casualty estimates are all over the place. But beginning with the 2003 invasion of Iraq, the ensuing occupation, insurgency, and civil war, the various estimates of war-related deaths range from a minimum of just over 150,000 violent deaths to over 1 million in total over a longer time span, of which a couple of 100,000 were called violent civilian deaths through February 2020. Well, in some paperwork, they're called collateral damage. Come to think of it, now we're seeing a whole lot of things that are being called died suddenly of natural causes. Eventually, they'll be classified as collateral damage too, I suspect. They're all disputed, of course, in every one of these examples, but that kind of makes the point, doesn't it? Back to the thread of the main story here. On Tuesday, the official spokesman for the Chinese Communist government, that would be the Biden-Führer's unofficial CCP puppet masters, confronted the United States on its 336 known biological labs in 30 countries around the world. And according to China, for crying out loud, there are at least 26 biological labs in Ukraine alone. So at this point, let's hear the clip from Victoria Nuland testifying before Congress, albeit with some hesitation.
Ukraine has biological research facilities, which in fact we are now quite concerned Russian troops, Russian forces may be seeking to gain control of. So we are working with the Ukrainians on how they can prevent any of those research materials from falling into the hands of Russian forces.
And while one could argue that this is hardly shocking, given what we know Fauci and his satanic bioweapons team have been up to and caught at, it's still damning to the extreme. And I want to play this part of that clip again. Listen carefully, where she admits Ukraine has, quote,
biological research facilities, which, in fact, we are now quite concerned Russian troops, Russian forces may be seeking to gain control of.
How's that for an understatement? No, it scares the living hell out of us to realize Russia may get in there and get what we are so anxious to hide and make darn sure the American people never, ever learn about, because if they do, we deserve to be hung via a short rope from a tall tree. This is treason, folks, and it looks like Vlad now has the goods. No wonder they were willing to go to war to prevent this from coming out, cut the Russian media off completely to prevent this from coming out, and even install a senile mob boss in the Oval Office to make sure that his crimes, along with theirs, got covered up, because everybody had skin in the game. Put it all together, from the destruction of the American economy, to the attempted destruction of the American military, to the biggest mass murder in human history, and this is the biggest satanic crime, not only in American history, but perhaps since Genesis chapter 3. The all-news pipeline Stephen Stanford sets his summary of the story up this way. While all of the so-called fact-checkers have been calling reports of the U.S. bioweapons labs in Ukraine either, quote, Russian disinformation campaigns or, say it with me, folks, conspiracy theories, and here your host interjects again, you can tell how seriously they want to keep something hidden by how vociferously they fact-check it and lie about it. The more they squeal like stuck pigs, the closer you'd better pay attention. Let me say it again. Remember gain of function and the non-existent Wuhan bioweapons lab and that unfortunate release of COVID-1984. And still, not a single one of all the people who lied about and funded that one have even been indicted, much less tried. Oh yeah, when Big Brother's public-private partners in the waste-stream media claim something has been fact-checked, your BS radar had better switch to high power. And to make that point, ANP includes this headline, courtesy of the oh-so-unimpeachable USA Today, that says, Fact check! False claims of U.S. bioweapons in Ukraine tied to Russian disinformation campaign.
These aren't the droids you're looking for.
How dare they claim these have been funded by the U.S. government? Well, continues Stephen Stanford, you've absolutely got to listen to Victoria Nuland, U.S. Undersecretary of State for Political Affairs, in the video that they too include. You've already heard that. What with Nuland's remarks, she says, and the very strange tone of her comments, hinting that indeed the so-called conspiracy theories and Russian disinformation were in fact correct all along, and that somewhere hidden in the nooks and crannies of Ukraine, the latest depopulation bioweapons were indeed being manufactured by all of those who so clearly want us dead. Just listen to the tone in her voice and just how carefully she chooses her words, as if she's realizing she's wading through a minefield of her own employer's creation. And this is something that they are willing to kill and indeed go to World War III to prevent coming out. We know this, but I think he repeats it nicely. With all of this coming directly on top of the plandemic, which was also, obviously in hindsight now, caused by a bioweapon, especially if we're to believe Dr. Francis Boyle, the author of the Biological Weapons Anti-Terrorism Act of 1989. See, this has been coming for a long time, folks. Who had already told ANP, All News Pipeline, in an interview all the way back in February of 2020 that COVID itself was, quote, engineered, and that the, quote, Nazi death science biological warfare work going on must be stopped. Well, he says we're getting more and more proof of just how real the global eugenicist depopulation agenda truly is. Another story from Jim Hoft at TGP adds more fuel to the fire. Breaking, says this one, documents, and there's a whole lot of them, reveal the U.S. Department of Defense was funding those Ukrainian biolabs, in spite of all the lies and smoke that's being used to cover it up, as well as dead bodies now. Russia releases a list of biological agents that were tested in U.S. biolabs in Ukraine, including Salmonella and E. coli. And according to Tucker Carlson Tonight, a U.S.-funded lab in Odessa, Ukraine, was actually testing anthrax and the plague as well. They go on to cite a host of DOD documents dating back to 2012, showing some of the funding connections. At least 10 of them, they note, implicating the U.S. Department of Defense in funding Ukrainian biolabs. Finally, there's this nice summary from Dave Hodges and the Common Sense Show, which, as I've already noted, lays it out this way. The coronavirus was developed in Ukraine with the complicit participation of Russia, China, and Iran, and the evidence speaks for itself. We have new information, he says, from multiple sources, indicating that coronavirus was developed in Ukraine and then shipped to Wuhan for later release. Here's the evidence for all to judge. And note, he too points out, extreme leftist propaganda publication USA Today has published their now infamously discredited fact check article, which allegedly debunked any and all allegations of U.S. involvement in any bioweapons lab in Ukraine. And he says the mouthpiece for the CFR stated the following, false claims of U.S. biolabs in Ukraine, which were echoed by none other than the New York Times, Reuters, and a host of others with the exact same rhetoric. No bioweapons labs in Ukraine. No bioweapons labs in Ukraine. This is Russian disinformation and a product of conspiracy theories.
The great Oz has spoken.
Oh.
Pay no attention to that man behind the curtain.
Hodges then goes on to cite an article by Dilyana Gaitandasheva entitled, Is Fauci Up to the Same Thing in Ukraine? Which alludes to and then proves that the evil Dr. Mengele of America, Tony Fauci, is engaged in bioweapons lab research, and in this case, perhaps among other places, in Ukraine, in the same manner that he was in Wuhan. In the article, she cites America's Biological Threat Reduction Program, or BTRP, which established Ukraine as a major partner. Quote, the U.S. Department of Defense Biological Threat Reduction Program collaborates with partner countries to counter the threat of outbreaks, deliberate, accidental, or natural, in the world's most dangerous infectious diseases. Oh, yeah, we've got a million of them, it seems. The program, it says, accomplishes its biothreat reduction, sick, mission through development of a biorisk management culture, international research partnerships, and partner capacity for enhanced biosecurity, or maybe they ought to say bio-insecurity. Security, or bioterror even, biosafety and biosurveillance measures. The Biological Threat Reduction Program priorities in Ukraine are to, well, cover it up seems to be number one, they don't say that, to consolidate and secure pathogens and toxins of security concern, and to continue to ensure Ukraine can detect and support, oh no, report, it says, outbreaks caused by dangerous pathogens before they pose security or stability threats. In other words, before we're caught and it poses a security threat to us or a threat to the stability of the regime we're propping up. Hodges cites this one from Newsweek, which back in April 2021 reported, Vladimir Putin's senior advisor says U.S. is developing biological weapons near Russia, very near, as it turns out, right there, not too far from where they've got missiles pointed at Moscow. Well, or probably did, anyway. And by the way, says Hodges, the BTRP has a direct connection to none other than the Echo Health Alliance, the same Peter Daszak organization you may have heard of if you don't get your news from the Waystream Media that is connected to none other than Anthony Fauci. Doesn't take much, he says, to add all of this up. Ukraine is at the forefront of the U.S. Department of Defense Biological Threat Reduction Program that is essentially another form of the Wuhan lab, which means the U.S. DOD is researching bioweapons right across the border from Russia. Putin may be brutal, says Hodges, but given what came out of Wuhan, these bioweapons research facilities in Ukraine appear to be what they might call an existential danger to Russia. And why would he want to take any chances along those lines with an increasingly brazen NATO right on his doorstep and the obvious and now extant threat of bioweapons? The plot thickened, he writes, when the lapdog Waystream Media got wind of Tucker Carlson's impending report, along with Rubio's questioning of Nuland about those biolabs, and an apparent and alleged cover story has, not surprisingly, emerged. Note the following AP release, he says, from Thursday morning, suggesting the Russians may use chemical weapons in Ukraine. Yep, you know the old story. Accuse your enemy of doing what you're not only already doing, but plan to continue doing to them. Here's the humorous punchline from the AP report after the usual booga booga intro. This week, Russian Foreign Ministry spokeswoman Maria Zakharova, without evidence, oh yeah, they always say that, even if there are tons of it, accused Ukraine of running chemical and biological weapons labs with U.S. support. White House Press Secretary Jen Psaki, the P is silent like in Resident, and has there ever been a more impeachable White House press liar, called Russia's claim preposterous, which means, oh yeah, we can't even debunk it without evidence, and said it could be part of an attempt by Russia to lay the groundwork for its own use of such WMDs against Ukraine.
That's my story. Oh, that's my story. Well, I ain't got a witness, and I can't prove it, but that's my story, and I'm sticking to it.
And I guess we're not done with this APBS. The propaganda continues thusly. The U.S. for months has warned about Russian false flag operations to create a pretext for the invasion. Wednesday's warning suggested Russia might seek to create a pretense for further escalating the two-week-old conflict that has seen the Russian offensive slowed by stronger-than-expected Ukrainian defenders, but not stopped. And get this, Dmitry Chumakov, a Russian deputy UN ambassador, repeated the accusation on Wednesday, urging Western media to actually cover, quote, the news about secret biological laboratories in Ukraine, unquote. I guess that means as opposed to cover it up. I'll say it again, folks. From Burisma to bioweapons, none of this information was ever intended to be allowed to come out. And they're not only willing to kill, given that they already intend to kill billions, what's a nuclear war to continue covering it up? Hodges summarizes some of the other things you're not supposed to hear about this way. Please note, he says, that as Paul Preston and myself have previously reported concerning the Wuhan COVID-19 coronavirus developed in Ukraine, it was shipped via Air Force 2 with Devin Archer and Hunter Biden on behalf of Burisma on board. And according to Paul Preston, none of that flight crew that did that trip is alive today. And to provide a degree of separation for the Biden crime family, he says, Devin Archer was just sentenced to a year in prison as another means to cover up these crimes. And he adds, I don't expect Archer to be allowed to leave prison alive. He concludes by saying, the combination of this research validates what Paul Preston and myself have been saying for years. The coronavirus was developed in Ukraine, shipped to the Wuhan lab in 2015 for safekeeping and for future use. Why Ukraine? Well, says Hodges, my best guess is that China wanted plausible deniability and didn't want to get pinned for gain-of-function research in a manner that would implicate their leaders for future war crimes hearings. Isn't it interesting to note that the U.S. was working with Russia, China, and Iran, all of them, in Ukraine, which means that the plot to release the government-destroying civil liberties evisceration was an international plot. And he added, I'd expect Soros and the World Economic Forum were also providing direction. And the more we see of the things finally being revealed, folks, the more it's clear everything involved in this massive destruction of Western civilization ultimately connects. And that's especially true when it comes to follow the money. even when we're talking about the fake kind that's now literally coming apart at the seams. And we'll pick it up there when we get back.
Wonder I can think at all, and my lack of education hasn't hurt me none. I can read the writing on the wall.
Welcome back now to the second segment for this evening. This is your host, Mark Hall. And certainly as things begin to come together and the destruction of the United States comes to a climax, as intended, one of the best ways to make sense of it all has always been to follow the money. Or the fiat money, the fake money, as has been the case worldwide now for over half a century. And here we'll begin to lay things out more or less chronologically, starting back on Monday and stupid on steroids and Alzheimer's is no longer an excuse. But come on, folks, who are we kidding? We're not dealing with mere stratospheric levels of idiocy here. We're dealing with outright intended destruction. And it's being carried out methodically, it would seem. Let's start with just one of several headlines, both from the Daily Mail in this case, among a whole bunch of other places. I won't fund Putin's war, it says in the banner. No, we're not subsidizing Putin's war, claimed the senile puppet reading the teleprompter.
Today I'm announcing the United States is targeting the main artery of Russia's economy.
We've been targeting the main artery of this country's economy and the rest of its body since before I even stole the office of president.
We're banning all imports of Russian oil and gas and energy.
See, look what Putin did. He made me shoot America in the foot. And if he doesn't stop it, I'm going to shoot the other foot, too.
That means Russian oil will no longer be acceptable at U.S. ports, and the American people will deal another powerful blow to Putin's war machine.
This will hurt Americans, of course, far worse than it does Putin's war machine, and a heck of a lot more than it'll hurt me. I don't pay for gas for my limo or my jet. I don't even have to pay for bullets to put in the guns that my people carry that you peons aren't allowed to. Ha, ha, ha!
This is a move that has strong bipartisan support in Congress and, I believe, in the country.
If you were stupid enough to follow the science, wear the mask, and take the poison poke, even after you realized it was killing you, and your kids too, why would you begin to wake up now? Oh, and notice, folks, he didn't bother to ask the Congress either.
We're moving forward this ban, understanding that many of our European allies and partners may not be in a position to join us.
We don't really care, after all. We've got a world economy to torpedo.
This is a step that we're taking to inflict further pain on Putin.
The fact that it helps destroy America is just collateral damage, and I guess you'd call it a side benefit.
But there will be cost as well here in the United States. I said I would level with the American people from the beginning.
What, is he fixing to say he stole the election? Is that what he means? Don't hold your breath. But here comes the biggest whopper in this speech out of one of the biggest liars in American history.
And when I first spoke to this, I said defending freedom is going to cost. It's going to cost us as well in the United States.
It's already cost you your job, your livelihood, your health, all of your once God-given and constitutionally protected rights, and pretty soon your lives.
Republicans and Democrats alike have been clear that we must do this.
You believed the lies, you wore your masks, then you took your poison poke, and when that didn't work, in spite of the fact that you knew we were lying to you because our lips were moving, you took the boosters, you stinking fools, and now we're going to go ahead and give you a world war, whether you like it or not. But meanwhile, we're going to make sure you can't even afford to drive to your place in the country, much less stock it with food. Well, that's enough. You'd hope by now that Americans would have gotten the picture, but obviously it hadn't happened yet. They've been led to the slaughter, and when they started to wake up, even a little bit, the people who pull the puppet strings on this marionette have gone to Plan B. And don't kid yourselves, there's a Plan C and a Plan D already in progress. And meanwhile, the puppet masters of this guy in communist China are laughing all the way to the cheap Russian oil that dumbed-down American taxpayers, whether they know it or not, are now subsidizing, along with Xi's war machine.
Are you crazy? or just plain stupid?
Stupid is stupid does, Miss Blue.
I guess.
So they strike another blow for hyperinflation and supply chain breakdown. And this in spite of the fact that under the puppet regime, national gasoline prices have now hit an all-time record high of $4.17 a gallon. They're up on average 11 cents in just one day, and three-quarters of a buck from only a month ago. By the end of the week, new price records were dropping like flies. And that's just the beginning.
Let's go, Brandon. I agree.
And this explains the Daily Mail, oh so helpfully to the idiots that believe it, after, quote, Russia's authoritarian leader Vladimir Putin ordered an unprovoked and bloody invasion of Ukraine. Why am I somehow picturing a stupid little kid who keeps poking a mama bear in the forest with a stick and ends up losing an arm? Yep, there's another unprovoked attack. What do you bet, folks, if they keep poking the bear, just maybe we'll see an unprovoked nuclear first strike. But as the week wore on, it's pretty clear we are seeing a financial nuclear first strike. Stupidity has a kind of a cancerous-like effect. Says another big headline from Zero Hedge in the commodities market, and you might think, what's the connection? Well, we'll get there. Commodity trading houses and hedging producers are now being forced out of their nickel short bets, adding to an unprecedented short squeeze in that metal that had sent prices on the London Metal Exchange, one of the crooked casinos in Britain, up as much as 250% in just two trading days. That's above $100,000 per ton. And hey, folks, have you been hanging on to those American nickels? Well, you still can. Before the exchange had to finally issue an unprecedented trading suspension come Tuesday morning. Guess what? The parabolic price move, it said, began shortly after the Biden regime considered, and then did, ban Russian crude imports, which helped spark a massive squeeze in commodity markets on Monday, especially in oil, gas, nickel, aluminum, palladium, and wheat. All hit either multi-year highs or new record highs, according to Bloomberg. And if you can say market carnage, folks, that's arguably just the beginning. Goldman Sachs, reviewing the latest carnage, called what's been done to the energy market, quote, one of the world's largest energy supply shocks ever, as they raised their oil price target to $135 a barrel. Basically, we're already there. That story notes that China's probably clapping their hands today because they have the logistical ability to take on higher Russian exports, and guess who's going to benefit from where all that oil needs to go?
Let's go, Brandon.
Let's go, Brandon. I agree.
European natural gas prices soared again after the latest round of escalation by the Biden Fuhrer, and Russia, in turn, threatened the possible closure of the Nord Stream 1 pipeline if the Western countries continue to try to ban Russian oil. Meanwhile, though, European natural gas futures surged again. Dutch gas surged as much as 32% to around 295 euros a megawatt hour, just a bit shy of Monday's historic 335 euro high. And gas prices, the story notes, have more than tripled on an intraday basis within the last 2 weeks. Here next, a story that I almost started off with today, because it really is that important. By the time this program airs, it'll be a done deal, but I doubt that the effects will have made themselves completely clear yet. This comes from strangesounds.org. I second sourced it a few other places as well. But Russia, he says, will completely disconnect from the global internet come March 11. And that's this week, Friday. No later than Friday, all servers and domains, say the releases, must be transferred to the Russian zone, the .ru suffix. And in addition, detailed data on the network infrastructure of the sites is being collected by Big Brother Vlad. And this news comes just 2 days after the World Economic Forum, and I talked about this over the weekend, removed CyberPolygon from their webpage, which of course has to do with a kind of event 201-like, if you remember how they simulated the COVID pandemic. Well, CyberPolygon is the event 201 parallel in terms of a cyber plandemic. So if you're paying attention and history is any guide, sounds like the globalists are again working their plan and planning what they've got coming, which seems to include cyber attacks and of course all the banking, power grid, and other turmoil that can go along with it. And meanwhile, note strange sounds, the Russian spy ship called Yantar, known for spying on and maybe doing more to undersea internet cables, has left its base in Arctic Russia. Here's the news release from Next.tv, which says Russia began active preparations for disconnection from the global internet by no later than March 11. then goes on to confirm what we've just discussed. And other sites note that back in March of 2019, probably seeing what was coming, Russia ran tests where they disconnected from the rest of the world and the Internet electronically, but were able to keep the Internet running for their own citizens. So, given that everything that's going on between the Ukraine and Russia is being escalated, and the bear continues to get poked, it's now being claimed that Russia may have made the obvious decision and decided to cut reliance not just on external funny money and fiat, and we'll come back to that in just a minute, but on the external Internet as well. Companies are being required to get a .ru domain beginning March 11, and I guess the obvious question that follows is, do they know something the Biden regime isn't telling Americans? There's also discussion in this article about legislation in Russia, which reportedly seeks to route web traffic and data from Russia through certain points that are controlled by state authorities. And it also said that there is an effort to build a national DNS or domain name system in order to allow the Internet to still work there, despite Russia being cut off. It probably shouldn't surprise anybody that's aware of C-cubed. And the kinds of active warfare that all of the major militaries in the world are well aware of, like the importance of cutting command, control, and communications before you begin the shock and awe phase of whatever you've got planned next, this looks like some kind of a precursor. I guess the bottom line is this. While we don't know what the timeline looks like yet, the cyber war, one way or another, is just beginning as well. At this point, folks, I realize I've used the term stupid a lot today, for obvious reasons. When it comes to believing that the American people themselves are really stupid, the administration outdid itself, even as the week was still young. Both Kamala heels in the air, I got here by doing you-know-what Harris, and Transportation Secretary, how's that for a laughing lie, Pete Buttplug, delivered remarks about providing what they laughably call clean transportation to America. Yeah, you'll learn how to walk. Says Christina Layla in the Gateway Pundit's coverage, Mayor Pete, the idiot who has no idea what he's doing, told rural Americans to buy electric vehicles to save money on gas. Are you a single mom struggling to take care of children? Are you living paycheck to paycheck? No problem! Just throw down another $55,000 or so for a new EV. And just wait, folks, if you think gasoline is expensive now, until these technically ignoramus communists figure out where electricity really comes from. And people who can't even afford to pay the loan on that new EV, much less the replacement batteries, realize, oh yeah, they're going to have to pay $3 a kilowatt hour to charge it, too. So the inveterate liar who's a poster boy for believing the only requirement for political appointees is to check all the right PC boxes, clean transportation can bring significant cost savings. For the American people as well, people from rural to suburban to urban communities can all benefit.
What a stupid son of a bitch.
Oops, well yeah, that was the Alzheimer's Muppet, and you know he wasn't talking about this guy, because he actually reserves that kind of criticism for Trump supporters and people who've read the Constitution. One of those who obviously hasn't is the administration's chief spokeslier, Jen Psaki. And I know you've heard this, but it bears repeating. Remember, folks, the P is silent, like it is in resident. So let me set this next bald-faced whopper up the way Jim Hoff does for TGP, citing a study that came out earlier in the week. We've had so much news about World War III and what they intend to do to you on that front that I actually didn't even talk about this one. You probably already understood that it was true anyway. New documents obtained by the Blaze Media through FOIA requests reveal that HHS paid a number of major media organizations, including various cable TV so-called news stations, publications, digital media companies, and of course socialist media platforms, and many more, to promote the COVID-19 Zyklon B poison poke injections as part of what they literally come right out and say is a comprehensive media campaign, for which the Communist Congress appropriated about $1 billion for fiscal year 2021 for the Secretary of Health, SICK, to spend on activities designated to, get this, strengthen vaccine confidence in the United States. Think of it as more like a suicide assistance program. HHS didn't disclose, though, just how much the agency spent to each media platform to push their poison narrative and spin positive stories about the experimental, to put it mildly, vaccines. This is, says Emerald Robinson reporting on it, the largest and most comprehensive breach of journalistic ethics in history. And arguably, they're accessories to mass murder as well. Quote, almost everybody took the money, almost everybody lied about the vaccines, knowingly or unknowingly, almost everybody refused to report anything negative about the vaccines because they were paid to close their eyes. Almost everybody is implicated, unquote, wrote Robinson. The Blaze reported that HHS in the FOIA request revealed they purchased advertising from major news networks including ABC, CBS, NBC, as well as cable news stations Fox, CNN, MSNBC, legacy media publications in the waste stream including the New York Post, LA Times, Washington Post, and digital media companies like BuzzFeed and Newsmax, as well as hundreds of local newspapers and TV stations, which were collectively responsible for publishing countless articles and video segments about the not vaccine in terms of both efficacy and safety. And as we now know, folks, and many people have found out the really hard way, by dying, suffering strokes or heart attacks or losing limbs, or even worse, some might say at this point, by losing their children, and you know all the other satanically evil things they did, like relying on media influencers to dupe people into taking the injection, and trying to turn America's own Dr. Mengele, the angel of death, into the great god science himself. And sometimes, folks, I can't help but wonder if maybe Joseph Mengele's looking up from hell, feeling sorry for himself for being compared to Tony the Terrible. This was literally a campaign that made Joseph Goebbels' best Nazi propaganda efforts look almost benign by comparison. More smoking gun information came out this week about the Centers for Death and Control and the Federal Death Administration. They're lying about the tests and the not vaccines. But most interestingly, COVID infections in Britain are rising again. They raised what are called some red flags about the mRNA gene modification shots. Turns out that hospitalizations and deaths occur overwhelmingly in those who have been duped into taking the Zyklon B. This according to an analysis by Alex Berenson of the British government-released weekly surveillance reports, which include COVID deaths by vaccine status. In fact, 90% of the 1,000 Britons who died each week of COVID were fully vaccinated. And this week, the Surgeon General of Florida admitted what people who've been paying attention knew a long time ago. Kids who have virtually no risk from COVID-19 to begin with shouldn't risk heart attacks, strokes, and cancers, or any other kinds of debilitating permanent illnesses, not to mention sterility, by getting injected with Zyklon B and destroying their immune systems either. And the Biden Führer's Ministry of Propaganda was asked about that.
And then last, Florida Surgeon General says that healthy children shouldn't get the COVID vaccine. Is that a good policy?
Absolutely not. Let me just note that we know the science, we know the data, and what works, and what the most effective steps are.
In killing you people, and your mangy little kids too, and then lying to you about it. And she then went on to lie shamelessly. Well, worse than shamelessly, folks, murderously. And I will play a bit more of that clip, disgusting as it is, but first I want to introduce it with Hoff's commentary, which notes that the gaslighting continues to this day, as she demonstrated. Here are just a few of the most deadly lies now revealed. Number one, COVID sprang up from a wet market in Wuhan. No, that was a stinking, fetid lie. It took a year, and we now know the truth. It was enhanced in the Wuhan lab. And by now, you may have even heard the term gain of function, used to describe the development of the Fauci bioweapon. Oh yeah, and let's not forget what we talked about in the first segment. After this piece came out, the evidence has come out like an avalanche about the Ukraine connection to the development of the bioweapon too. And now, they've obviously initiated a war. It's certainly gone nuclear already on the financial front, and we'll probably see over the next few weeks how much further it goes. Number two, COVID has a mortality rate of 3.5%. The truth was, it was more like 0.6%, and the vast majority of those had numbers, not just one or two, of comorbidities. Number three, masks stop the spread of coronavirus. Truth, they're absolutely harmful. All you have to do is just look at a pulse oximeter and realize they decrease the oxygen in the bloodstream, increase the carbon dioxide, and cause people that are stupid enough to wear them to rebreathe their own exhaust effluents, including germs and all kinds of things your body's trying to get rid of. But masks don't allow it to depart. Number four, economic lockdowns save lives. No, what they do is destroy world economies, and they didn't reduce mortality rates either. Number five, you don't need to wear a mask if you take the Zyklon B poison poke so-called vaccine. No, the truth is obvious. Vaccines and masks didn't stop the spread. In fact, they made things far worse. Just one booster more. Well, they keep saying that one. You know the answer there. Children need the vaccine, number seven, when in fact, no, it's intended to kill them. In some cases, immediately. In other cases, slowly and longer term, especially in the second generation, which may never come. In fact, notes TGP, children have a far greater chance of drowning than they do dying, unless, of course, their parents are stupid enough to inject them with the poison poke, in which case they may die of all kinds of other immune deficiency-related things, and may, of course, never have children of their own. But hey, it's going to be years before that one really gets proven. Number 8, vaccines are safe and effective. The truth is tens of thousands at the lowest possible estimates and arguably well over a million deaths already. And as to the long-term effects, oh yeah, we'll see. But early indications certainly suggest that the vaccine is quite successful as a tool for genocide. How about this one? Number 9, pay no attention to that man behind the curtain, or herd immunity. Truth, natural immunity, the kind that God gave you and that the vaccines destroy, provides far greater protection. And how about hydroxychloroquine and ivermectin? Hundreds upon hundreds upon hundreds of international studies have shown effectiveness, especially with early usage in the case of HCQ, as part of a protocol including zinc, and basically at almost any time, but it's especially effective early with ivermectin. And there are many other far better alternatives too, to suicide by injection, including good old vitamin D, the sunshine vitamin. So with that on the table, let's pick up again with the Saki Whoppers already in progress.
The FDA and CDC have already weighed in on the safety and efficacy of COVID-19 vaccines for those 5 and older.
Okay, I admit, I thought I could stand it, but hearing people advocate for child killing does kind of get under my skin after a bit. But she's fine with killing older kids, too. We'll pick it up there.
But we also know through the data that unvaccinated teenagers are 3 times as likely to be hospitalized if they get COVID than vaccinated teenagers. So it's deeply disturbing that there are politicians peddling conspiracy theories out there and casting doubt on vaccinations.
Because it's our best tool. No, folks, if you've seen the data, the real data, it's not about preventing hospitalizations. Because guess what? Most who end up in the hospitals have taken their poison, folks, and their boosters, too. It's about killing people, and it's really good at that. So let me pause at this point and ask a question that I think really needs to be on the lips of every American who's not happy about the literal hell on earth that's being engineered around them. Now that you know that they've been trying to kill you, first with part one of the Fauci bioweapon, then with the masks to prime the pump and get you ready for what was coming, so that they could then inject you with the second part of the binary bioweapon, the Zyklon B injection itself, and of course the booster after booster after boosters, are you really truly gullible enough, even for a second, to believe that the same people that did all of that and have been poking the bear for 4 years plus now and finally got what they were jonesing for don't intend to go the rest of the way and kill a couple of 100 million Americans for sure? And ponder this, folks. If they can't coerce, cajole, incite, poke the bear into going ahead and doing their dirty work for them and launching a nuclear first strike, or maybe a tsunami bomb, or even a dirty bomb against America, do you really think that the very same people who engineered the greatest mass human takedown in the history of planet Earth and even spent $1 billion plus just to sell the Zyklon B injections to Americans and cover up their own criminal perfidy aren't more than willing to launch a false flag and finish the job and cover their tracks to boot? And then say, oh, see, look, Russia did it. We've had the proof sitting on our shelves just waiting for this for years now. Anybody else remember those suitcase nukes from after the fall of the Soviet Union? Oh, yeah, that radioactive material traced right to guess who? And do you think for a second that the same mass media that we bought and paid for on the COVID debacle is going to out us this time? Folks, the gloves have been off for a long, long time now. But they've lit the fuse on the economic meltdown and the mass genocide that goes right along with it. And there's no stopping what's coming next. It's literally more clear by the minute. They intend to go all the way. And it's never been more important to recognize that, know who you serve, and be ready. Because if you think it's been ugly so far, they're only just getting started. And we'll wrap things up today with another prime example of exactly that. Remember how Big Brother's been trying to destroy the U.S. energy markets? Oh yeah, it's all about green energy, but it's really all about lining their pockets and killing a whole lot of people. And banning Russian oil and gas is another indicator of the battle here. But this one points in the same direction for the gold market. Courtesy of Ronan Manley via Bullion Star and Zero Hedge, the U.S. has now teed up not just the Stop Russian Oil Act, but the Stop Russian Gold Act, triggering the LBMA, that's the British version of the crooked casino, and the COMEX to eject Russian refiners, too. While the UK, EU, and US moved to introduce financial sector sanctions against Russia during the last week of February, one of the markets noticeably hesitant to join that fray were the OTC precious metals markets in London and also in the US. Now, at this point, Manley provides a whole lot of background detail, some of which we've talked about here, most of which is kind of inside baseball. But the key is, on Monday this week, March 7th, the LBMA finally made their move and announced they were suspending six LBMA-accredited Russian precious metals refiners from their good delivery list for gold and silver. Hours later, the puppet COMEX released basically the very same statement, and then a bill was introduced in the U.S. Senate to prohibit United States persons from engaging in transactions with foreign persons to purchase or deal with gold from the Russian Federation. And if Russia really is about to drop their own financial nuke and go back to a gold standard, and in the process put a wooden stake in the almighty fiat U.S. dollar, well, folks, if you look back at 1933, you ought to be able to guess what's coming. On just about every front you can imagine, and probably some you can't yet, we've seen evidence of the greatest crimes against humanity in human history. They've already demonstrated they're anxious to kill millions and more than willing to use war to cover it up. One thing's for sure, folks, next week gotta be interesting.